Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and today I'm joined by two members of the aforementioned Zone Time podcast and two friends of the show, Julian McKenzie of The Athletic, who's now in Ottawa, and Tic Tac Tomar. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on. But I think I'm just basically saying this before we started that I'm just going to reenact Zone Time. So I'm going to give you guys well, what's it like just to see each other on the same side of the kind of camera for the first time in a long time?
Do you want to go first, Julian?
Sure. First
Yeah.
off, I'm amazed the look, Tic Tac Tomar, that name. Omar, the way that you found a way to have this presence and not use your government name out here, impressive. Impressive. Yeah, it's always cool to chop it up with Omar on any type of platform, whether it's like text in person or literally on Zoom, which you're right, we have not done this in any format on Zoom anyway since Zone Time ended. We did do Twitter Spaces like during the Leafs first round, but like that's all audio stuff. Like I'm not seeing him like visually. Like literally it's just I was just in my living room and I'm like talking on my phone and then I hear Omar and then we just go back and forth and then other people were hopping in. Like but this to always see to see Omar on Zoom just visually. Like I'm gonna try not to. I'm gonna try not to give you too many flowers. No, you know what? Fuck that. You deserve all the
No,
flowers, Omar.
because here, okay, so
You
here's the
deserve all
thing.
the
Here's the
flowers.
thing that
Sorry
Julian
for
does.
swearing. Sorry for
No,
swearing.
you can.
It's a swearing friendly show.
So here's the thing that Julian does a lot, right? Julian, and the thing I respect the most about Julian is that he will give people their flowers all the time, but this man hates complimenting himself. And when it comes and when it
I don't know if
comes to
I hate.
Julian,
I don't know if I hate that. It's just.
it's not that
I
you
don't
hate
want
it.
to.
Is
I
you
don't
don't
want to come
do.
across as an arrogant prick.
But you're not though. You're not. You're not. And the thing, and that's why, like, I was so looking forward to this because, again, like talking with Julian, like whether it's like audio or like face to face, like Julian is one of, if not like the real, one of the realest people you'll ever meet.
Oh man.
Like period. When it comes to like hard work, determination, focus, drive, like that's Julian. So like anytime Julian's involved in something, like I'm all in. So it's honestly like I'm really stoked to be able to do this. And I know that Julian will find a way to throw in some Leaf stuff, which he now has incentive to do because he now covers the Sens. Before it was just a joke. Now there's actual content a part of it. So really looking forward to this one.
Well, like I just want to add this too. I feel you. It's funny you say like whenever you see me get involved with something, like you know it's cool. I feel the exact same way about you because I think Tic Tac Tobar is this super talented, super awesome person who has found a way to make himself one of the best people to follow on it as a part of one of the most intense slash known fan bases in the sport that we cover. Like that's not easy to do. And I think through the podcasting, the gifs he would always do. I don't know if we're a GIF or GIF podcast here, but I say GIF. Like
I go GIF.
Tic Tac Tomar is so good at what he does. And whenever I see him get involved in anything and I have a part chance to be a part of it, I'm like, yeah, like I want in on that because I know when I'm with Tic Tac Tomar, like it's gonna be a fun time. He is a personality that I think this sport really needs. I really think we need more people like Tic Tac Tomar who know the game, can speak on it really well, and provide a level of passion that is super entertaining. I have a story. I love bringing up this story about Tic Tac Tomar, not to take over the podcast, but when I joined The Athletic a couple months in, when anyone joins The Athletic, maybe I could only speak for me, but like all the big execs and stuff and people who are high up at the company, they all want to like meet you and make sure that you're settled in and all that. And like a couple months in, I had already had these meetings with this one exec. I forget specifically what their job title is at The Athletic, but they're like a big wig. They used to work at ESPN and they knew all the big people. Like they even knew like Stephen A. Smith when they were there. And what happened with this exec is whenever some people will just call you or they'll send you a message being like, hey, are you free like this day? Are you free to talk like this day? Like, let's make a meeting work. This guy will just be like, You'll just look at your Google calendar and all of a sudden you have a meeting on Tuesday. It's like, all right, I guess I'm talking to this person. And there was a day where he was like, hey, I know you're interested in doing all these different things. He's saying this to me, like, send me all of your clippings and video stuff that you do. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to send you like all my writing, all the video stuff, all the podcast stuff. And the next time after that, I spoke to the exec. He's like, hey, I was looking at one of the clips you sent me, and I know you're in there, but there's another brother on the episode who's also in there, and he's really good. And I'm like, oh, you mean Omar? He's like, yeah. And he's like, well, he should be working for us. Like, what should we be doing? I don't know if that had anything to do with Omar getting any freelance work with The Athletic, but to
I think
show that
it
I don't know,
did.
but like, I think the fact that there are people out there in the sports world who recognize Tic-Tac-Toe Omar's talent, and it goes beyond the Zone Time group chat. It goes beyond Leafs Twitter. There are people out there who, if they are more exposed to Omar, this brother, if he really wanted to, he could make himself a name in this industry. I understand why, you just stick to the lane that you're in, and that's cool too. But I believe in Omar enough where if he really wanted to go all in on covering hockey or just covering sports, period, like, you can't go wrong. Anyway, I've been talking for like 5, 10 minutes about my brother and my friend, but I think
I
it's well
appreciate you,
deserved.
man. I
I
appreciate you, man.
appreciate you too. I appreciate you too.
Maybe, you guys can talk about maybe the genesis of Zone Time and how you guys got to know each other, because I think I tried to find some, I couldn't really
I want
figure
to
it out.
know Omar's story with that, 'cause like I know how I got into it. I want to know how Omar got into it.
So I got a random DM of it was kind of like it was kind of Avengers-esque. Where it's like, hey, we have this idea for this show, where we have different types of personalities to kind of come together and talk hockey, and then I said like, hey, do you want to be a part of it? And at that point, I think this would have been the first thing, like the first official thing I would have been doing, I guess regularly when it come involves like audio and video. Like up until that point, people still didn't know what I look like. A lot of people were shocked when that episode came up, and they're like, you're black? It's like, yes, I am. So I got that DM, and I was like, yeah, for sure. And at this point, I got like a couple of names who I knew were involved. So like, they said that, Julian, Rahef, Sam Chang, Avery Lewis McDougal, Julian McKenzie is being involved. And I was like, yeah, because at that point I didn't know Julian personally, but I knew like of his stuff and of his work. And like Avery as well, Sam as well. So these are all people I just knew like from like Twitter and stuff, but like didn't know personally. And then once we had that first episode where, and I think in our first season, the episodes were only like 10 minutes, which I don't know how we did it. I genuinely don't know how we were able to do it in 10 minutes. But again, like the gel of the show, like was Julian. Like when it came down to like the topics, getting us started, making sure like everyone had appropriate time to speak. I think that's really, really important as well. 'Cause I always used to think that when you have like these large podcast groups, there's always like people who talk and then some people who kind of get like, I guess left on the side, and they don't talk as much. But like the thing I respected the most about Julian on it, and especially in that first season, was that he ensured everyone had like their moment, like they're kind of like their 1 or 2 minutes about a particular thing. And then from there, it continued. And then I want to say it was the 3-1 collapse.
It was the 3-1 collapse.
3-1 collapse, where I think we had one of our first episodes that were longer, like 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And then Julian brought the idea of like, hey, why don't we just make this longer, like all the time? And then we got to the point where like every episode was around like 30, 40 minutes. And I think at that point, then we kind of started to have more time to kind of, bring in our personalities a little bit more and have more fun. It wasn't just like, this is this point or this is that point. So yeah, it all started with the DM. It all started with the DM and a dream. And and honestly, like I'm so thankful for it, because again, I think just like knowing like Julian and Avery and Sam and Arun and Rahef, like knowing them like on Twitter is one thing, but I think with Zone Time we're able to kind of like vibe personally. And I think when it comes down to the sport that we cover, you don't really see too many people who look like us in the sport. So I think having that space where You know, if there are things going on that pertains to race, we're comfortable in talking about that because this wasn't just something we were talking about because we felt like we needed to because it was a checklist. Like these are things that like were meaningful for us because these are things that we experienced. And I think, you know, I like that we had the opportunity to do that and that we didn't shy away from like those quote unquote serious or heavy topics, just because it was like, oh, you know, we want to lighten things up. It's like, no, this thing is happening. We're gonna talk about it. So like I will truly and forever be thankful for zone time, what we're able to do.
Maybe to,
Yo.
yeah.
Oh, no, Alex, you go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, maybe, in the sport of hockey that is so white, like how important do you think it was to provide with the podcast, maybe another, people from different backgrounds that see the game in a different way and from a different cultural background? Like, how much is hockey missing out on that? And how much do you think I'm not saying your podcast was the biggest thing ever, but just provided to the sphere as well for.
Hey, zone time was the answer in a USA Today crossword puzzle.
In my head, I was like, well, we were
People
the
magazine, when they
biggest.
wrote
I don't
an article about Matthew Tkachuk that first time he went to the Stanley Cup final, they linked to an episode of Zone Time. So
Legendary.
speak for yourself. No, I'm kidding. No,
I've
I what I loved about Zone Time was the fact that obviously, like, yes, the people you see on the show, it's very different from what you would typically see on other hockey podcasts. Like, I mean, I'll give even like Hockey Night in Canada credit. Like, if you look through the last how many years, like, you're seeing a lot more different faces. Like, Jamal, I mean, a lot more black faces to be specific. Like, Jamal Mayers, Anton Carter, David Amber being a host. Like, we'll give them that Sarah Nurse has made appearances too. Like, they've actually made some efforts in making their cast look diverse. But like, even some of the hockey po podcasts that are really popular, like, I get it. They look a certain way, but also like they sound a certain way too. Like think of a podcast like Missing Curfew, like with the way that those guys sound. Like you would think, okay, they sound like typical hockey players. How many podcasts who talk about hockey can you think of who can say, hey, why isn't there a Team West Indies in like Olympic competition?
No, there
Or
should be one day.
there absolutely should be. Or
There
how
should
many
be.
how many times could you look at like, hey, like this GM did so well this one offseason, we're giving him a golden
Golden
do-rag.
do-rag.
Seriously, like there wasn't a lot of definitely, I think we were definitely a one of one with that podcast. And like, I know for me at the time when I got to join Zone Time, and especially in the days when it was still around, like I was doing a whole bunch of different podcasts at the same time. But like Zone Time, I know when I do the show, I was just like, I can just be chill. I try to just be myself on a lot of the shows that I do, but like I can go to a whole other level because the point of that show is for it to be like, and this was how it was introduced to me too. It's supposed to be like a group chat basically on Zoom. Like the point isn't for the show to be this like super uptight, stoic, super news kind of show. Like I even like CJ show, like I know it's been me and CJ been a lot more relaxed over the last 7 years as we've gotten to know each other, but like what you get on CJ show and the content you get there, I know I act differently versus being on with Omar and Avery and Sam and Rahef and everyone else who's been on that show. Like I know when I got introduced to the concept, Dan Toman, who used to be in charge of Yahoo Sports Canada, we actually like he had been trying to get me to work for them for years, and basically like an opportunity would come and I'm like, like I think this is it, but like I would pull out the last second with something. And like I want to say maybe like a month before the podcast even got going or a couple of weeks before, he was just like, hey, I have an idea and I want you to host it. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a cool idea. And he brought up all these different people like Omar and Sam, who like I knew about like in some way, like I had seen them online. Omar specifically, it would be kind of cool because like I would randomly like look for different like Canadians articles, and then I would see like who's this like Omar guy writing about the Canadians for FanSided. I'm like, who's this guy?
Good
Oh,
times.
his profile picture, like, oh, he's black. Like, oh, there's another one of us writing about the Canadians. And then to be like, oh, wait a minute, like you're that guy. It's like, wow, like you do podcasts. Like it was a really cool moment, like a real cool full circle moment. And then like that first episode, it was me, Rehef, Sam, and Omar. We were like, okay, like this is a cool concept. And then like they introduced the idea that like, okay, it's gonna be more of a rotational cast and there are other people who are getting into it. Like you're trying to find a rhythm with everybody. You're trying to figure out what everyone's strengths are. Like, I know that was my job. I didn't want to be the guy who, I'm already the host of the show. I don't want it to be a show where people hear me and they're like, oh, well, it's just me talking and no one else gets to share. Like, everyone else on that show had their platform on hockey Twitter, and there are reasons why people go to them. My goal was to make sure that everybody looked good. Obviously, if I have my opinions, like, I share them. I remember, like, before the last season started, one of the first things I remember was Omar being like, "Hey, you got to share more of your opinions." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right, but like, I'm not the one who needs the 5 minutes to talk about like the Leafs needing to improve insert thing here. If we need to talk about more of those serious issues, Sam is probably the best person you could have on our show to discuss those topics. I don't have a moment of me pulling out a stack of like $50 bills, like I will talk about my coffee, but like, you know,
Avery, man.
counting the money up. Like, Avery would do stuff like that. Like, I know my role on that show, and it was not the same as like everyone else on the show. I think I did all right considering, but
Oh
like,
yeah.
everyone else was the star on that show.
And I think to bounce off of that point when it comes down to like how important it is, I think going through the comments on a lot of our videos was always funny. You'd have some people who were, just being jerks. Call a spade a spade. All right. But at the same time, you would have, I think those comments that I think would be the most surprising for, or the most heartwarming for me, were the ones where people were like would see it and be like, "Oh wow, I didn't know that this is a thing." Or like, or again, like they people like in not in like the funny way, like, "Oh Omar, I didn't know you were black," but like in a wow, like, "Hey, I didn't know that you were black. Like that's actually really cool. Like, oh, we have a brother covering hockey." And I think that's so important because again, like if you're a person, if you love the game and you want to see different aspects of how the game is being talked about, maybe you're a person who you're black and you want to get into hockey media and you don't know how possible it is. I feel like Zone Time was an example to show that it can be done and it doesn't have to be the same thing as everyone else. So we can have our personalities, we can bring our cultures, we can bring who we are into it. So I think that aspect of just being another example of something that people can see and be, I think was something that was very, 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 I guess special for me.
I'm 100%.
What's up?
I feel that too. And on top of that, like I think having people like persons of color, like people who wanted to be in our shoes, tell us that they watch the show and tweet us that they love the show. People on hockey Twitter tell us that they like the show. Like, that's obviously awesome. I don't know how often this happened for you, Omar, but whenever people who are in the industry were like, "Yeah, we like the show." Like, I remember like Greg Wyshynski like coming up to me and be like, "Yeah, I like
That
Zone
was
Time."
cool.
I was like, "What?" Like, and again, like, he used to work at Yahoo, so like, I get it, but like, whoa, like you know what Zone Time is? Like, Zone Time kind of felt like it felt like a secret, because like, it's on Yahoo Sports Canada. It's not on the same level of platform as The Athletic or an ESPN. So like, if you took the time to look at the clips and listen to episodes, it felt like you were tapping in. I always think of it as like the podcast equivalent of like, remember the show Freaks and Geeks? Freaks and Geeks is this like cool, like, you look at the people who are on that show like on that time, and most of them have turned themselves into stars. I've always thought like, all right, even if like it's not going to be the most popular podcast in the world, I would love it if people look back at those episodes and they see like, oh, Omar is a big thing, Avery's a big thing, Arun is a big deal,
They
Sam is a
go
big
back
deal.
and they're like, "Wow, Zone Time was stacked."
They had all those people on a podcast. Like, what the hell are we talking about?
Did you guys ever think of your show like, I remember when I found you guys that I just found it like the funniest podcast that I like, hockey podcast that I'd listened to. Was there anything pre-prepared? Were you guys just that funny off the cuff?
Like, I think like there were definitely topics that were prepared, and there were times there would be times when we would do an episode and Omar would just be like, "Julian, I need you to give me 5 minutes." And I'm like, "Say no more." That those are not planned. Literally, that's all I need. It's like, "Hey, we're gonna talk about this Leafs thing. We're gonna talk about this topic. I need 5 minutes." And then I'm
Or
like,
like there would be a horrible Leafs game and then Julian in the group chat would just be like, "Omar, are you okay?" And I would just be like, "I need 5 minutes
"That's it.
on the next episode." And then you'd just be like, "Omar, go." And then
Just
it
go."
slowly became a thing where like afterwards Julian would just like sit back. Everyone else would be like on like with popcorn. Avery
Oh
would like
man.
go and grab something. It like became a thing. So like we had topics that were planned, but like when it comes down to like a lot of the I don't know, high energy stuff. Like it was just like off the cuff and just reading people. And again, like Julian, I get like I can't speak enough with me, but speak enough about how Julian like knows us, because like Julian would do things and he would say things and he would know how to like get me going rant wise. And then
Yes.
I would have the best content. Like after like I think in our after our second year of zone time, like I had my own thing on Yahoo called In the Mentions. In the
Great
Mentions
show.
would not have been a thing without Julian, because I think they saw that like the rants could be content wise like pretty good in that regard. And like I think one of the funniest times that Julian like really activated me really well was oh gosh, I think it had something to do with like the Florida Panthers and how like oh like there's a team who like hasn't won before in the longest time, and he set it up to make it seem as if it was going to be the Leafs, and he's like, of course I'm talking
Oh,
about the Florida Panthers, and I just got up and walked off. Like I just like walked off completely. And again, and all of that was like was just real. And again, I think it's because as time went on, like we knew each other, we knew
yeah.
different jokes to make. We knew how to make Sam laugh. We knew how to get Avery going. Julian knew how to get me going. We you know, like I guess we genuinely became friends, like as friends and family, like as it went along. And I think as that bond got stronger, I think that's when the show kind of got funnier, because it's like again, like it felt just like Monday evenings, that's when we record. Like those were the highlights, man. Like those that
Man,
made Monday like easier to get through, because it's like, ah, man, it's Monday. But you know what? I got zone
we got
time at
zone time.
5:30. Zone time at
Yo,
5:30. We're
two.
good.
I want to mention two things real quick. Omar mentioned, like, you know, the fact that there was a point when the podcasts were really small. It wasn't even really a podcast. We were just recording video, and
Yeah.
those clips were getting cut, and then they were just going out online. Yes, fine. I did press on to the bosses, like, hey, we got to find a way to make these episodes longer, but. Yes, the 3-1 collapse with the Leafs and all that played a part in it. But that episode right after it happened had Rehef, Justin Cuthbert, and Omar on. Like Cuthbert obviously being around the team covering, like I always think of Justin Cuthbert as like Yahoo Sports' like equivalent of like Jonathan Toews. Like he's like their captain series. He's like their first line center who like especially for hockey content, like everything flows through him. And I'll mention in the second point I want to make later, but like he knows everything about the Leafs, or he's their big hockey guy. Rehef, obviously, Leafs fan, cares about the Leafs. Omar, we already know about Omar. And like in a moment like that, where the Leafs should have won this series, everything should have gone their way. There was no way that episode was just gonna be 5, 10 minutes. There was just It turned into like a therapy session. And like Tuff was a lot more stoic in that because that's who he is. But Rehef and Omar, like they were upset. They were like, how is this team just gonna continue to run it back? And like I give credit a lot to the production staff, like Kieran Breen, who was our
Yeah.
main producer for the show,
See, Breen, man.
and Mackenzie
Legend.
Liddell, who like he was basically our showrunner. That's the job I'll give to Mac, but like I would give him topics like all the time. And we'd go back and forth on what works, and he'd be like, "Yep, we're gonna do this." I give them credit because they obviously heard the episode, they saw the direction of where it was going, and they just let us go. And that gave them everything they needed to tell them that like it was worth making zone time longer. And the second point I want to make is just like Omar is the character that he is on the show. Sam is the character she is on the show. Avery too. But what was really funny was that. The show obviously got to a point where like there's a certain way that like the regular cast members would go about things, and whenever you saw people who weren't immediately part of that circle like Cuthbert, they just kind of knew to play along and just relax and just like hang out. Like again, Cuthbert is like a stoic dude who's very serious. He can have fun, but like it almost kind of, I mean, I don't like hang out with him like all the time, but it always felt like whenever he would crack a joke or he was a little bit more relaxed, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like you're allowed to do that. And so whenever he was on zone time and he was cracking jokes with everybody,
Hilarious.
it was like, wait a minute. Like you could do this? Like he wasn't trying to just be like, "Oh, I'm serious and I'm going to talk about hockey seriously." Like he made like a joke about being a Brampton man and we all like lost our
Whoa, that
minds.
was hilarious.
We were like, "What? Like you can do this?" Like but like he was great. He bought in to the vibe of zone time, and especially when we did those episodes that one postseason where it was Cuff, Sam, Omar, and me, and we were going all the way through like the 2022 final for sure. Like just having that consistency and
Yeah.
being able to provide analysis when we could, but also just being as lighthearted as we could. Those were some really good episodes where you were able to
Yeah.
get the best of both worlds on that. And I just really thought it was cool that whether it was Cuth or Nick Ashburn who came in or other people who joined in at different points too, like people got the idea that like zone time is a spot where you could just hang out and just be chill and
Yeah.
you don't have to just be the super serious person on camera.
I'm gonna try to switch gears a little bit, but it's
Go
still
for
gonna
it.
we're gonna bring some spice to it. So because now Julian, you are at with covering the Senators, and obviously
Yeah.
Omar is a Leafs fan. So the question is, who is the better team? Is it the Ottawa Senators or is it the Toronto Maple Leafs? Both teams are pretty both 500 as we are recording this tonight. So I think I'm going to let Omar take the reins to begin with because I think he has some thoughts.
Can I ask some clarifying questions before we begin?
Sure.
Are we talking about on paper or on the ice?
Yeah.
On the ice.
On the ice? Okay.
Like
So
who's
on the ice, I will still say the Leafs. That being said, that record that you read out, it's haunting to me. And I don't know who had the tweet, but I think it was like the I think I'm pretty sure it was Pierre LeBrun actually, who said
Yeah.
that there are like many teams in the East, in the Atlantic
Six of them.
specifically,
Six
six
of
of
them.
them who have the same record. And the fact that the Leafs are a part of that is disgusting to me. Not in a good way. It's awful because the games that they have lost, it's not like, oh, you know what? It was a hard-fought battle, and but they lost the game. No, they are gifting teams these wins. Hey, you want 2 points? Here you go. You want to win? Here you go. Now, in a general sense, that would be frustrating, right? The reason why it's pissing me off is that I thought things would be different. And granted, yes, we're only 10 games into the season, but I thought there'd be a change. You know, yeah, you'd lose, but then after the bad loss against who was it? I think it was against LA. They're saying the right things. You know what? Like, hey, we have to respond. We have to play well, right? So I'm like, okay, game against St. Louis, Craig Berube's favorite former team, Joseph Woll's first game of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh. They're getting about to bang and crash. It's going to be Monday all over again when they beat Tampa 5-1. And I don't know what that was. So they lost again, a bad loss, you know, giving away things. The defensive mistakes, which is, again, hilarious to me because I was told that the focus this year was going to be defense, right? So they lose the game again. Hey, well, we're gonna have another game. We have to respond. We have to play well. We have to do better. Cool. And then they lose again in the same way. And it's like,
This is exactly how Omar would have done if we were. This is a zone
and I
time
don't,
team,
and
by the
it's
way.
like,
This is
I
exactly
don't.
how it would go.
And the thing now, and the reason why I'm starting to get kind of angry about it is that Craig Berube is wearing Sheldon Keefe stuff. And I was in denial. I was like, nah, he's different. But there's too much Sheldon Keefe that I'm hearing in these quotes, and it's starting to eat away at me. It's really starting to eat away at me. Oh, you know, well, we played well. We played well. You know, we're not getting the chance. We're not getting the bounces. We made some mistakes. Okay. But why are we making mistakes? Because I thought, based off of training camp, which was the most difficult training camp of a lot of their careers,
Oh my God. How many people say stuff like that
Their
all the
words, not
time?
mine. Their
Ooh,
words,
okay.
not
All
mine.
right. Fair.
So how come after all that, we're still in a position where, and it's not like many, we're talking about egregious. We're talking about a person having a time to do a full breakdance in front of the net and then score. We're talking about a person who throws on an invisibility cloak and chills in front of the net and scores. So are the Leafs better than the Sens? Yes. Is that going to stay the same? I hope so. But the Leafs, obviously, They have the talent, they have the skill. I still think the blue line is better. I think goaltending has been a huge improvement. I don't think there are any games that you can fully look and say the goalie left them out to dry, whereas last year we can do that. But they're getting to a point now where like the we need to do this, we need to do this isn't going to do enough unless there are the results. So that's my long way of saying the Leafs are better, but with an asterisk, they have to.
No, you know what's
Alex,
really.
let me show you something cool. You want to see something cool?
Yeah.
Hey, Omar,
What?
I hear what you're saying, but the Leafs are 9 games into their season. It's way too early to have some of these thoughts. Like there's an opportunity for them to get better, and then you're gonna find yourself being like, oh, okay, this team's good, and they'll get fully adjusted to this Craig Berube system.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing here? It's 9 games.
Okay, sure.
And
Now
away
here's the
we
thing.
go.
Now here's the thing, right? It is if we were to go into a machine and turn the Toronto Maple Leafs into like the Florida Panthers, who won a cup recently, the Colorado Avalanche, who won a cup recently, the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'd say sure. But for a team who needs to prove and show how they can play at a particular level, especially with the new coach, it's just not enough. It's not enough at all. And I'm not taking that. I know there's some people who are like, oh, it's so easy. I don't care. I don't care that it's early. I don't. They're making mistakes that they should not be making at this point of the career. So no, I'm not taking that stance. I'm not. And I know some people are like, oh, you're being too hard on them. Like they're lost to the Rangers. People are like, oh, they're being goalied. I'm like, I don't think they got goalied. I don't. Did Shesterkin make great saves? Definitely. But did he steal the game? No. He played well. He played his position. Wow, the goalie was good. Shocker. It's almost as if all 31 teams, including the Leafs, want to have a good goalie. So well, because the goalie plays well, that means that like, oh, okay, it's fine, we lost. What? Anyway.
See how Omar just went there and provided analysis, was super entertaining. That's how easy it is to work with dude. I would do this all the time where I would just like let him go and get myself a snack and just let him go. That's all he's supposed to do.
Just so people know, Julian left the room, went to get a snack, and just chilled, relaxed.
It's
Well,
not even out of disrespect. It's just,
no, it's
no. Omar is just a dude you just set and you just let him go because that's how talented he is. To his, to the question, though, I think. We're strictly keeping it to the on-ice product with these teams right now, the 2024, 2025 versions
Yes.
of these teams. I'm inclined to say the Leafs are supposed to be better because of the talent they have at their disposal. They're supposed to be better. You have a top five player in the league in Auston Matthews. You say what you want about Mitch Marner, but he's a top-line player. William Nylander is also a top-line player. And I mean, Alex, you know the Senators, obviously. The Sens, I think, in order for them to get to a level where they can go to the playoffs year in, year out, because for what it's worth, as much as the Leafs have had playoff failures, they've made it to the playoffs. That's not something the Ottawa Senators can say. And I think once the season ends, I have a higher belief in the Leafs making the playoffs versus the Sens, at least right now. Things could totally change. That being said, I think the Sens have something that makes them a potential playoff team. I like what the offense has been able to bring at times. I do like that, like against Vegas, against a team that is going to probably make the playoffs out of the Pacific, and they've been a perennial playoff team. They not only did they hang in there, they actually took it to them for 80% of the game, which was a noticeable change from some of the other games they've had against Tampa Bay, against Florida, where they went out to really strong leads and they were kind of fighting for their life like the second half of those games. I think the Sens, at least up front, have a team that like should be able to make the playoffs if they just find a way to play consistency, play consistently, and put teams away. I just have questions about their defense. And right now, as we're recording, I have questions about their goaltending. I think that Linus Ullmark signing into that extension is the right move. I think he's very much a number one option that this team should be able to rely on. But we have only seen him play 3 games and what, 5 minutes in total of what we saw, the weirdest thing imaginable of him getting. Did you see this game, Omar, at Senators Colorado on Sunday? You saw him like. Him entering the game and then coming back out and then entering. I'd never seen anything like that before in my
Wild,
life. And as far
wild.
as I'm concerned, especially for a market that has been very anxious about goaltending as long as they have, I don't know about you. If I'm the Senators, I'm not happy about the fact that like that happened. I mean, it's a freak thing, but like, dude, Linus Allmark was out with a strain. We don't know specifically what type of strain it was, but like your first action back is you coming onto the ice. Sorry, he did play a full game, which wasn't that good, and he took responsibility for it. And then the very next time he's out there, he's sitting cold and then has to go out there and extend himself to make saves. I do not like that for Linus Allmark, especially again for a team that is starved for good goaltending. So anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying the Leafs look better right now. I think the Senators might not be that far off from being a playoff team and maybe getting to the level where the Leafs are at. The Leafs, I mean, with the talent that they've accumulated and the playoff experience they've accumulated, I get it. Like they need to improve on that. But I also think if these two teams ended up in a playoff series, I could see this like 6 or 7. I just think that
Awesome.
with I think the way the Sens have built their team with the guys that they added in the offseason, your David Perrons, your Nick Jensens as an example, your Nick Cousins as another example. Brady Tkachuk plays a style that should work in the playoffs. He goes to the hard areas. He goes in front of the net. Like they engineered a team that if in theory, if you put them in a playoff series, they might not win it, but like they have guys who know Claude Giroux. I didn't even mention Claude Giroux, who's been playing really well to start off this season. The Sens, I don't think this is like a if it gets to that point, I would love a Leafs Sens series. This is not gonna be a 4-game series. This is gonna go the distance because I think the Sens, the way that they play with pace and with guys who are able to go in those hard to reach areas, they're gonna give themselves a chance. But you need guys who can get you to the playoffs. And I think the Sens need to get guys who can get them to the playoffs, particularly on defense.
Yeah, if the Sens are a team that like gets in at like the last week of the season, I don't want them in the first round.
No,
Like
I completely
I would,
understand that.
yeah, like they are like not just like the Leafs. I'm saying like in a general sense. Like I think you have a team who again who have actively been wanting to make the playoffs for I'd say the last like 4 or 5 years. Like if you're being like
7 years.
honest,
It's a 7-year playoff drought, but you're right. They
But
have been
like yeah, but like
rebuilding.
you
Yeah,
have
you're
yeah,
right.
like you yeah. But as far as like we're going the season, like we want to make it like the last like
100%.
say 4 years. So if they are like kind of having like a up and down like regular season and they catch fire in like March, April and then make it, that's a team I can see catching other teams off guard because again of the way that they play and the players that they have. And I think Brady Tkachuk as captain who will drag the team into the fight in that regard, I don't think that I would be very, very concerned about facing them in the playoffs if I'm any team, to be honest.
I'll tell you this for Brady Tkachuk, like if he finds himself in the playoffs and he goes invisible, that is that I do not see that happening.
I
That's
don't see that.
something
No.
out of the realm of my possibility.
No.
This guy has been starving for playoff success. You mean to tell me
Literally.
you're in the household where your brother has already won a Stanley Cup, has been to back-to-back Stanley Cup
Watched it
finals?
happen, was in the building, like tears in his eyes, watching Matthew Tkachuk with the cup in his hands on the ice.
Come
Like,
on, you mean to tell me if you're Brady, you're not thinking like, man, I want some of that too? That man is going to be in those fights for any playoff series that he's going to be in. Does that mean the Sens are going to go on some Cinderella run? Personally, for content, that would be awesome. But like,
That
still, I think if the Sens get themselves into the playoffs and everything works out, especially as if it goes the way that Omar says, that's going to be a really interesting team to watch. And also for the
Yeah.
Sens, that's a tangible piece of progress for a team that has been knocking at the door at being a playoff team for how many years. And that's a step forward for them.
What's funny to me is that when Omar was going on his first rant, I was just thinking, that it sounds exactly what I hear in Ottawa. New coach, same problems defensively. We talk about the core that keeps struggling. Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle last night, letting guys kind of walk in and score defensively. Team struggles consistently. After the game, they say, we need to be better. We can't make these mistakes, but they always make those mistakes. And it's interesting. I see a bit of parallels between the two teams where
You're absolutely right.
for
There
to
are
the
those
Leafs,
parallels.
for the Leafs, their benchmark is round two. And for the Sens, their benchmark is the playoffs. And these two cores, in a sense, if both these teams fail again, obviously there's a Mitch Marner decision coming up, as Omar would know. And then for the Senators, I think if this team doesn't struggles again with Travis Green. They can't blame the coach. Do we look to Brady Kachuk? Do we look to Tim
There
Stützle?
absolutely, you absolutely have to do that. I think there is a Brady Kachuk conversation that has to be had. I don't know if you realize this, Omar. That dude has an NMC that kicks in July on July 1st. He has a no movement clause that kicks in July 1st. If I'm Brady Kachuk,
learn. You got to learn from teams, man. You got to make that decision. Is he staying or is he going?
that needs to get figured out. I'm not trying to put and sound alarmist and be like, oh, we don't know if Brady Kachuk wants to do it. Like, we get it. He's signed beyond next year, obviously. But if you're the Ottawa Senators and you're trying to figure out what's next for you, if it gets to a point where you miss the playoffs, you got to figure out what's next for Brady Kachuk. Do you want him a part of what's going on? And Brady Kachuk, does he want to be a part of what's going on over here? So that's if it gets to that point, that is a conversation that is going to come up for sure.
I guess Omar, my question would be is if those two teams played each other in the playoffs, who wins?
Here's the
I
thing.
don't know.
It should be a straightforward answer.
It
But
should be.
we have literally seen this Leafs team trip up on itself in the opening round of playoff series against teams they should have beaten. We
they
talk about the
they
qualifying round
they
against
they they
Columbus, Montreal. They
Whoa.
should have beaten those teams.
Oh! Oh! Like, you know, the funniest thing, and honestly, and it's like, you know, when you hear something so funny, you don't even laugh. You know what I mean? You can like we can go through every single like loss, every single playoff loss in the Matthews era. Yet the core players are still here. Is that not funny to you? I find that.
That's a lot of rope for a core that has
Yeah.
endured what they've gone through. And I'm also curious too, like, it's if you're in that team, if you're a part of that core and you have that pressure on you 24/7, and it's one thing if like you can't win all the time, but you at least have some playoff wins to your name and some series wins to your name.
Oh, yeah.
Like, look at that core and like how big of a deal it was for them to beat Tampa in the first round, what, 2023 or whatever year that was.
I cried,
And it,
man.
a lot of people
I
cry. A lot of people,
straight
that
up
was a
cried.
big deal. But like, if you're part of that team and all you know is same old Leafs, they can't get past the first round, they trip up on themselves. You hear like Steve Dangle in the distance being like, still a same driver. Like, if you not do these failures at some point not just mess with your psyche? I'm like,
Yeah.
whoever is their like their like team psychiatrist or whatever the actual job name is, like they should be paid double time
Straight up.
for whatever these players have had to endure ever since that core became a thing. Because if you've endured all of the losses in the way that they've lost over the
Oh.
last how many years, like, how do you get yourself over that and tell yourself, hey, we are not that team? And I get they won a playoff series, but even then, like, they got dummied by the Florida Panthers who ended up going to the Stanley Cup final that year.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an easy situation, and I'm very curious to know how those guys get through it. And after all that, you don't think that like making a switch at that part of your team is necessary? Like, someone should have been moved.
But I
I
guess
know.
now with Mitch Marner, isn't that the crux of the decision now for the Leafs, where now they can't
Sure, but
make
they're
that
but
decision?
like but that also do the Leafs want to move on from Mitch Marner? That's a good question.
I don't think they do.
I don't
I
think they might. I
think,
don't think they want to
why
move on
not?
from him.
Well, I think because teams don't want to be the you let him go team, you know what I mean? Like no one wants to be on the bad side of, on the bad side of a deal that went wrong. No one wants to be on the bad side of a wasted first overall pick or something. So I feel like the Leafs don't want to actively move Mitch Marner. I'm not saying that from like insider information. I think it's a hunch. I generally don't think they want to because they see his value. He's important to the team. Obviously, you know, he plays in all three situations. He plays 5-on-5, plays on the penalty kill, plays on the power play. You know, he can play with skilled players. You know, he can make players better. I feel he can carry his own line, but I don't know. I'm not the coach. Just say that out loud. Anyway, but at the same time, I think they recognize that and they know with all their players, they're probably thinking like at one point, they probably have one like playoff run out of nowhere where they're gonna like mess around and get like 25 points, like go like Leon Draisaitl mode. And I think they see that potential in Marner. I think they know Matthews has that potential. Nylander is the only one who is consistently producing in the playoffs. But I think with Marner specifically, they think that he has that something will happen, something will activate in him, and then he'll just go off. And obviously the Leafs want that to happen for them. Now, my issue with that is how long do you wait before said reality actually becomes a thing? And another thing that comes to mind, and this is the main reason why, unless his ask changes, I believe, and this is my opinion, the Leafs will let Marner walk unless his ask changes. And this is why I think this is the case. We have seen over the last like set of years, what the salary cap has done to this team, to the point where year after year they do not have the funds to make the rest of the team better. So after this year, you're gonna have Tavares's $11 million contract change.
Yep,
Definitely.
you're
I see
right.
him coming back. He'll probably sign for like 3 or something like that. Cool, a lot better. Marner. Now, the number that a lot of people are bringing up is 12, 12 and a half. So, do you really want to do that again? You just want to have Matthews at 13, Nylander at 11, then Marner at 12. And then what is Matthew Nyes going to want to get? Because if I'm Matthew Nyes and I'm playing the whole flipping season with them and I'm showing up in the playoffs, which he does, and I'm playing well with them, and if I mess around and get 40 goals, okay, cool. I would like $9 million, please. Oh no, I can't get $9 million. Okay, trade me. And then we lose Nyes. And then you have other players. Maybe say Joseph Woll out of nowhere ends up becoming a star goaltender. What is Joseph Woll gonna ask? Easton Cowan hasn't played an NHL game yet. What will he ask once he is done? So I feel like there needs to be a reset in how deals are structured. And I think that reset could start with a decision around Marner, not because of him as a player. I know a lot of the fan base are like, oh, he's a bum. I'm not talking about that. He is not a bad player. But financially, does it make sense to bring Marner back for 8 years at 12, at 12, and, 12 and a half million dollars? No. And I think if you're doing that, then you're just doing the same thing where you just get into the playoffs and hope something happens. Get into the playoffs and hope something happens. And it's just the last like 5 or 6 years, like haven't taught the team anything. And I don't think that's gonna happen because a certain person in the front office is also needs a new deal. And his name is Brendan Shanahan. Now, do I think Brendan Shanahan is gonna get an extension? I don't know. If you asked
I'd
me
be
that five,
surprised.
if you asked me that 5 years ago, I would say yes. Now, I don't think so. So I think that's what needs to change. And I think unless Marner changes his ask, I don't see how it works financially. Julian, we talked about it at the end of the playoffs last year. It can't work. We've seen it time and time again. And frankly, I'm tired of wasting 10 months just to get to April and see it not work all the time. In the playoffs, there's these players who come out of nowhere and go off and have great runs. Why does that? Why doesn't that happen on the Leafs? Because they can't afford the depth. They can't, unless they get a random person on an entry level deal or like a random person on like a league min deal to do it. But you can't build a team like that. You can't build a team with your star players who don't contribute the same all the time in the most opportune times, and then bank on some random person you get at the deadline for the seventh round pick to do the heavy lifting. You can't. So that's why unless he changes his ask, I don't see him being a Leaf next year. And that's just my opinion.
I want to go one step further with that, with Mitch Marner in his situation. A guy who, in spite of all of his playoff failures, still one of the more productive guys, at least in the regular season
Definitely.
for this team, makes the salary that he makes. While I understand that if you get that contract off the books and you let him test free agency and you don't bring him back, that does bring you some salary cap relief where you can allot that salary to other players and maybe find someone else to take that. That's still a failure in my mind if you let him go
I agree.
because you will have let him go for nothing.
I agree.
And one thing that should have happened with this core is that someone off that core should have been moved for a piece that would have helped, or pieces that would have helped them in the long term. And if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you find yourself in a position where you're trying to make the playoffs, how do you justify, unless the deal is insane where you get yourself pieces you absolutely need, how do you justify trading Mitch Marner ahead of the trade deadline? And then at the end of the year, you let Mitch Marner go for nothing. That's not a win. That's not something you want. Like, that does not help your team in that scenario. Like, fine, again, you may have more money to clear it, and maybe that's just all you want. But like, if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, you've seen all these other teams be able to put together these productive built-up rosters where you have to start talent up front, but you have everything else behind them that makes it work. If Mitch Marner can't get you any asset, isn't that something that's ripe for criticism as well? Like, but also, what do you do? What do you do? Like, if I think that's a difficult thing to
It's
discuss.
a yeah, don't get me wrong. If that happens, if Barter walks, it's a fail. Like it the it's a
It's a
failure.
massive
It's a
failure.
massive failure. Like from top to bottom. But I can't see how, again, signing him to this huge deal and expecting a different result, I don't see how that's gonna work. So it's either so it's like do we pick the path of doing the same thing but with more money, or do we accept the fact that hey, we fumbled this Mitch Marner bag heavily, let's make sure we don't do that again, because when it comes down to when should there a core trade should have been made, it comes full circle. That 3-1 collapse to Montreal, that's when something should have happened. But hey.
There's no reason that I've talked about how that run for the Canadians that literally changed my life from a journalistic personal standpoint, all the amazing things that have happened to me professionally. I go back to that run and I've talked about how much it meant to the people of Quebec. We could consider what happened with the COVID pandemic and all that. But that should not have happened. What should have happened was the Leafs should have won in five, and the Leafs, maybe they win another round, and then, hey, you know what? They go to the third round. That's a success for them. That's big for them. And now they're talking about being a cup contender, and let's see what happens with that core. That loss should not have happened to that team. They should have buried the Montreal Canadiens when they had the chance. And now it's a lot of people. I think in the grand scheme of things, unless the Leafs change people's minds this year and go on a run, people are going to say that was the moment they had and they lost it. And it might not have gone better than that. And I get they won a round after that, but that was the moment for them to do something. And that was their opportunity to really put it to teams and really go on a run. And they blew it.
What might be the most ironic thing is maybe the player that they should have traded will be the one that walks.
Ha. Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. And again, and I'm not going to be like jumping up and down and celebrating it. And I think if any Leafs fan does it, then I think you kind of have to give your head a shake, because like again, like you have a player who was drafted fourth overall, who again, regardless of what happens at the end of this year, is gonna have his name in the record books for being like top 10 in points and assists, all that type of stuff. And it's gonna be a failure. Like that's the only way to describe it. It will be an absolute failure. What is it gonna be necessary? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe information will come up afterwards about what his ask was and what the team wasn't willing to do. And I can understand that, and I can justify that. But through and through, it's still a failure if Mitch Marner is not on your team and you got nothing back for it. But
I think he's staying. I don't know. This is just a hunch for me. I think he's staying. I think the team and Marner's camp eventually come together on a deal. I could be wrong, and if it ends up being I end up being wrong, of course we'll all talk about it. But I think he's gonna end up staying. I think they'll find a number that's appropriate, because
That's just what it is.
at the end of the day, like, with everything that he brings to a team, like, those players don't grow on trees. And especially if you're going to be in a situation where no one's going to be willing to give you a trade, if you even want to explore that, and you lose it for nothing, like, that does not help. You might just be in a situation where you just say, you know what, we need this player on the team, we're going to keep him.
But what we need to do is have this discussion in April when the Senators play the Leafs in the first round, and
If
we
the
will get
Sens
to.
and Leafs play each other in the first round, Omar, ahead of that series, I will gladly come back on this podcast with you.
Yeah, and the first thing I would be like, okay, hey Julian, let me know how the second round is. I will, if that's the matchup, I listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious.
I
If
believe
that's
you.
the matchup, I have zero confidence. Zero.
You should have a
Z
little, you should have at least like a
for the Leafs?
percent. Yeah. A little bit.
For the Leafs? Confidence in the what? What? No. False. No. Negatory. I have no. The man, the like honestly, who's
But
the
don't beat
worst
yourself
team?
twice. Your brother, you can't go into these things with no confidence. If you go into these things with no confidence, you already beat yourself.
Isn't that the
Oh,
Leafs?
cool. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Alex. You took the words right out of my mouth. Exactly. Okay, I don't know. I was being hyperbolic. I think at the time I'd be like, yeah, it'd be a great series, but believe me,
Trust.
they shit. If they man, like
Dog, that's
yo,
gonna be so fun.
oh.
I want you to. I would love it if, I don't think it'll happen, but if you found a way to get like credentialed for that series, if it
Oh.
happened to
No,
the
I'd be kicked out of the press box, man. I can't.
NFL,
I'd be kicked out of the press. I would be up and down, man. Like the
he'd be
one,
shaking in the press box,
dude.
just like,
Oh,
oh.
one time I was in the press box at Scotiabank Arena, and like, and Matthews had the nastiest pass to Michael Bunting,
Good.
and I wanted to like, I wanted to celebrate, and I was looking around. I was like, no,
Can't do it.
you can't. So like, if we're talking about a playoff game, like, no, I couldn't do it. I'd be kicked out
Yo,
immediately. They'd be like, yeah, they'd be like, get him out.
yo.
I'm like,
Oh my
ah. Oh my
God,
God.
man. That would be fun. That would be really
Exactly.
fun. But
We'd get Omar to Ottawa. That's what we'd do for game six.
I could show you around some spots. So if it gets to that point, like
That'd be cool.
hopefully I'll
That'd be
get a
cool.
sense of what Ottawa is like.
That'd be
I
cool,
mean,
man.
it goes without saying, Omar, if you ever make the trek out here to Ottawa, you say the word.
Oh yeah. For sure. For
Say
sure.
the
For
word. Say
sure.
the word
For
for
sure.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the team, you know, is more exciting than maybe the city, but you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys, for taking the time and doing this. We will do this if the Leafs and Sens play each other in the playoffs. And thanks so much for doing this. This was fun. I felt like I was like a passenger host slash listener to Zone Time all at once. So this was
Those are the
great.
best types of shows, right?
Yeah,
It's
man.
just the guests have the chemistry and they're able to just kind of vibe. So I
Yeah.
really appreciate having that opportunity to rekindle old memories with my brother, man, and
Nah,
just
for sure.
talk hockey, man. And it's not gonna be the last time we talk hockey
No way.
on any platform. So you know, be on the
Awesome.
lookout for that if that happens.
Great. Awesome.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, guys, and we'll do this again.